Now, later this year, a few familiar faces from childhood will be making the transition from small screen wonders to cinematic idols. The release of a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film this summer comes as no surprise. But did you know that Postman Pat is also on his way to the movies? Or that come Christmas time, the Peruvian bear in the top hat and duffel coat, that's right, Paddington Bear, will make his cinematic debut? What happens when filmmakers adapt a much-loved children's TV show for the big screen? Is it ever too late to bring back a classic? How do screenwriters and producers avoid the dreaded Thunderbirds route and create a film that pleases newcomers as well as fans of the original series? Well, before we preview the new lineup of iconic TV characters turned movie stars, let's take a look at some of the adaptations that have worked and, of course, the ones that have left us horribly disappointed. Chris Wasser of The Herald is here right now to steer us through it all. So, why do studios continue to adapt TV shows for the big screen, Chris?
I'd say money is always the key issue. It is. I mean, even after a show reaches its conclusion, maybe it could be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years in some cases, sometimes there is an audience demand for a one-off return rather than a new series. And, you know, if you focus your entire attention on just a 90-minute film, then that's okay. But the only problem is there, how do you turn what was maybe in some cases a 25-minute show, you know, you're talking 25-minute episodes over 10 years, how do you turn that into a film, a motion picture? You know, are you going to come up with a story that's you know, that can keep adults, you know, children, because
that
we're talking
really
about kids.
Is the key, isn't it?
It is. You have to find that
story.
It is, and it's not just a case of, you know, taking the characters on holidays, because so many programs do that, either, you know, adult dramas or comedies or kids TV shows. When you take the character on holiday, like say The Simpsons, it's a bit of a lazy route. The Simpsons didn't go on holiday, but they had to escape to Alaska in the Simpsons movie. So how do studios find that balance? I mean, there have been some really good examples over the years, and some.
Hold on, is it a question of appealing to the followers of what we have known in the past, or is it sometimes just not really, like, there's a little bit of a ping of recognition, but actually the movie is everything here, and it doesn't really matter what.
Yeah, that could be a bit of a problem as well, because you want to appeal to the fans, but if you're going to pump 50 million or 100 million into a movie, you can't alienate the newcomers, people who haven't even seen the show before. So maybe you might want to rip up the rule book and start again and introduce the character. Well, you know, go straight into the story, but also remind newcomers, you know, who
right.
these characters
so
are, where they came from.
In some sort
be
of
faithful
way.
In some sort of way,
yeah.
to the source.
A small F will do fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So the all-star cast business is a cheap, easy route that doesn't necessarily.
It
work.
Is. Yeah. It seems to be working for the Smurfs movies at the moment. I mean, if you take someone like Katy Perry or Neil Patrick Harris or George Lopez, you know, big names in America, and if you put them into a children's animated film or maybe a live-action comedy, that'll work well. But that'll only work well for, you know, English speaking audiences, because, you know, they're all dubbed at the end of the day. I mean, there was a famous example of, remember the Magic Roundabout movie from about 7 or 8 years ago? You're talking about a show that had been off the air for decades, so they thought they'll bring it back because there was a demand there for a return, but maybe not a series
God,
return.
That's really weird. I don't actually remember the movie.
Yeah,
I remember the program
was,
all right. Do you know that Emma Thompson's dad was the guy behind
it? I didn't know that.
There you are. No,
but when the movie came out, there was actually two versions of it. The UK version obviously would have appealed to fans of the show, because you're talking about British audiences.
Did the Americans even know the Magic Roundabout?
They didn't. So that was the thing. The UK version was very faithful to the original cartoon. They brought in Robbie Williams and Kylie Minogue and a few other famous voices and faces to lend their voices to the characters. But for the American version, you're talking a whole load of American names that you might never heard of. I think Whoopi Goldberg that was in there as well.
I can't imagine Whoopi Goldberg saying Time for Bed, 770.
Exactly.
Nah,
yeah. Robbie Williams was Dougal, yeah. Actually, in the UK version. But the problem there was that the American edit had too many pop culture references. The critics didn't get it. They didn't like it. There was a lot of references to The Lord of the Rings, because those films would have been out at the time, and it just didn't work. So you do have to be careful. I mean, you can't just release a film expecting audiences to know who these characters were,
right,
but at the same time,
exactly.
You can't run away with it either.
Okay, and you're also talking, I presume, that the fact that when you mentioned The Simpsons earlier on, that route of taking them on holidays and therefore wacky things happen is really a kind of a cheap one as well. So, is it ever too late then? Is there ever too long a gap? Is it ever too late to adapt a classic kids' television series for the big screen?
I think so, yeah. Even something like Thunderbirds. Now, Thunderbirds had been off the air for decades, and there were two motion pictures based on. I mean, Thunderbirds, remember, made very clever use of marionette puppetry. And that was the reason why so many people tuned in. It wasn't for, you know, the International Rescue or Tracy's Island or, you know, the various escapades of these super agents going off to save people in trouble. It was just the puppetry was brilliant. You remember they had real hands whenever they had close-up shots as well, and these, you know, small-scale models. It was brilliant. The only problem was, it was very 60s. It was set in the year 2065, but the production and everything to look about it was very 1960s. So it'd been off the air for decades, and for some reason Studio Canal thought it'd be a clever idea to not only bring back Thunderbirds, but make a movie out of it, a live action film starring Bill Paxton and a lot of moody teenagers. Vanessa Hudgens, Brady Corbett, names that might not have been familiar at the time. I know Vanessa Hudgens is a well-known actor now, but at the time you had all these newcomers in this cheaply made, I think 50 million was pumped into it, which isn't a loss, live action comedy and actioner, and it just didn't work. I mean, who'd have thought marionettes could act better than real living breathing human beings? And it was a bit of a disaster. Critics complained, and fans of the show, and even some of the, you know, writers and team that would have been involved in the original show said, this is not what the Thunderbirds is about. It's not about big action spy kid stuff with a, you know, a soundtrack by Busted. It's supposed to be about the puppetry. And it bombed. It barely, I think it made back half its budget at the box office.
Really? Okay, well, of all the ones you've spoken of, let's just take a little bit first of all of one that you sort of have thumbs sideways, didn't really work. This will be a little bit from the Simpsons movie.
All right, boy, time for the ultimate dare. I dare you to skateboard to Krusty Burger and back naked.
How naked?
Fourth base.
The girls might see my doodle.
Oh, I see. Then I hereby declare you chicken for life. Every morning you'll wake up to good morning, chicken. At your wedding, I'll sing, bawk, 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 bawk,
bawk, bawk. Of course, when I think of all that, I think of Spider Pig and all the rest of it. That was, that was the movie on the ceiling. Okay, so like that's Simpsons, and that kind of worked-ish, but not exactly, maybe. What about stuff like that is so long gone, let's say, Chris, like, you know, Adam's Family stuff or that kind of thing, or was that so long gone?
Sometimes you do need a lengthy breather. You know, nobody asked for a magic roundabout film, but I think there was demand there for an Adam's Family picture, and it had been off the air for close to 20 years, I think it was. And when it was brought back in the 90s, you had a case of terrific casting here. Angelica Houston as Morticia, Christopher Lloyd as Uncle Fester, Christina Ricci as Wednesday Addams, and it just worked so well, because sometimes the danger of bringing out a film long after, especially with a kid's show, long after the series has reached its conclusion, is that you worry, I'd say the writers worry, are, you know, how do we fit in all those pop culture references, or you know, how do we make the jokes that were funny first time around work, you know, in the 90s or in the 80s, whenever the film is going to be released. And just the Addams Family just worked. It was an hour and a half long. It took in something like 200, 250 million at the box office, and it was a hit. The sequel, you know, I don't think anyone really wanted the second one, but that is a prime example of, you know, just wait a few years, and if the demand is there, you know, go for it.
It obviously didn't have too much of an effect on me. I think I saw it, but I don't know if I did. I can't even remember if I saw it.
I actually prefer the sequel, but I think that took in less.
No, I'm talking about the first one even.
Oh, the first one.
I definitely didn't see the second one. Okay, now, you see, the other thing about it is that you do have to strike while the iron is hot as well. SpongeBob would be an example of, like, it's good that it came out when it came out, because there was a certain thing about that. Adults loved SpongeBob SquarePants as
absolutely
well as kids.
I think the writers always had one eye on their students and maybe young adult fan base. You know, this was a kid's cartoon, and the kids would have taken great pleasure out of, you know, the various animated capers, and, you know, it looked brilliant, but there were a lot of inventive gags and jokes in the series and in each episode that were, you know, purely aimed at adults. You're talking about gags that would have gone straight over kids' heads, and that's what adults found funny about it. But I think it was only on for 3 years, and the writers thought, we could actually get a film out of this. So this is a great example of, you know, as you said, striking while the iron is hot. Let's put out a film while the series is only halfway through its run. And it worked so well. You had Scarlett Johansson lending her voice, Alec Baldwin.
By the way, Scarlett Johansson and Alec Baldwin, do you need the famous voices that much?
Do you
need to be given half your budget to these people just because they stand in a sound booth and shout?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm even thinking of something like Toy Story, where you have all the famous names coming back for each sequel. But as I said earlier, English-speaking audiences will get that. But once it hits a European market or anywhere else in the world, you know, nobody cares if Tom Hanks is in it, because they're not going to hear him. So Hollywood certainly thinks they do, and they will spend an awful lot of money.
Tom Hanks didn't do it in Japanese as well, did he?
No, unfortunately not, no. And the studios will spend an awful lot of money to get these stars in, but it's just for, you know, the red carpet blitz, the publicity tour,
exactly,
all that kind
and
of
it does
thing.
Give good, I mean, it's great publicity to have the big names there in so many ways. Okay, so Scarlett Johansson, Alec Baldwin, SpongeBob SquarePants, it did well at the box office as well.
It did for an animated film.
Brilliantly received,
140 million it took in. Then again, you had something like, even modern kid shows, something like Hannah Montana. Two seasons in, there's demand for a film.
Yeah.
Millions of kids are tuning in every week. You know, their parents are obviously
going to fork out cash. Will they have The Wizards of Waverly Place as a big movie, though? That's what I want to know.
I hope not.
Listen, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a little bit of one now, because I remember going to the premiere of this one in Dublin. It was a huge scene. And like the programme on TV was just, it was very good. Although it seemed to have come and gone to me. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. A kid's movie. Here's a bit of the Rugrats movie.
Bigger. This place is bigger than the park in the backyard all put together. This is bad, you guys. This is bad.
Uh-oh, Tommy. I think your feather is broke again.
Oh, no. Dill, are you okay?
I think he's gonna explode.
Poopy.
What?
Poopy.
Well, I guess we'll have to change his diaper.
What do you mean, we?
Well, indeed, the baby's lost in the woods in Rugrats. I must say, when you don't see the pictures, they kind of, whoops, that's somebody putting on a voice. But the Rugrats are pretty cool.
They were. I think they ran for 10 years. And then there was a follow-up series about the Rugrats when they're teenagers that wouldn't have worked quite as well. I think it's always funny.
A follow-up series,
All Grown Up, I think it was called.
Really?
Still the same voice actors, just the Rugrats while they were teenagers.
And your man from Devo making the music for it. Okay, so Rugrats, did it work? Was it good?
It was good, yeah. Like SpongeBob SquarePants, Rugrats was always, you know, it just had an eye on the adult market as well.
What about Hannah Montana, the movie?
Hannah Montana, actually, before there was a feature-length Hannah Montana picture, there was a concert movie, a 3D movie, and that was back when, you know, concert 3D movies were brand new. I think U2 did it first, and then everyone saw, well, this made a fortune at the box office. Let's do it for everyone. Pop stars, rock stars, it doesn't matter. So the Hannah Montana concert tour on the big screen, that proved a huge success. So they decided to condense 2 seasons worth of Hannah Montana into a 90-minute picture.
Right.
It's not that great a film.
Okay, again, the Flintstones is a good example of something that was 100,000 years ago, and then they brought that out as a real live animated, or it's a real live movie. And of course, I got the impression they made the Flintstones because John Goodman looks so much like Fred, let's make a movie around
him. Yeah, he was born
and the
to
funny
play.
Thing was, I know it did brilliantly successfully at the box office, but it was crap.
I don't think it's crap. I think it looks great. And remember, the Flintstones, though, you might think of it as a Hanna-Barbera cartoon for kids. It was an animated sitcom. It had laugh tracks and everything. And you can watch clips online now of all these old jokes that if you watch them now, 20, 30 years later, there's some seriously adult stuff in there. A lot of innuendos as well. But the problem with the film was that they aimed it towards adults too much. They completely forgot about the kids, and you had this complicated story about Fred Flintstone's job on this site and getting promotion, his falling out with Barney, and it was a bit too complicated for kids. Looked great, made a fortune, $300 million at the box office, and there was a sequel a couple of years after that, the Flintstones Viva Rock Vegas. Nobody went to see that. It's not that bad a film. I don't think it's crap, but you know, they could have remembered that kids are going to be watching as well.
Right, no, good point. Okay, let's run through some of the other ones here and just take a look at what we are looking at here in terms of kids' TV programmes, big screen. Popeye.
Popeye. This is Robin Williams' first ever, it's his debut on the big screen.
On the big screen, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it is actually based on the early 20th century comic strip, but you know, you still could file it under, you know, movies based on kids' TV shows, because it was partly based on the 30s cartoon that went along with that. It's a bit of a funny one because, you know, is it a musical? Yes. Is it a comedy? Yes. Was Robin Williams miscast? Absolutely. And the only reason Paramount Studios actually put this out in 1980 was because they lost out on the rights to make a big budget cinematic version of Annie.
Yeah.
And so they thought, okay, well, we need a new musical. Let's go back to it. I think someone just suggested Popeye, so they went with it. It's a little all over the place. It's actually quite boring. And that was what a lot of critics at the time said. You know, this looks okay. Everyone does an all right job, but it's just kind of there. It's forgettable. So I wouldn't recommend that one.
Well, you mentioned Thunderbirds. Alvin and the Chipmunks is doing pretty damn fine.
Alvin and the Chipmunks, I think there's a fourth film on the way in a couple of years. These films are torture.
I've seen them with a bunch of kids, cinema, all the rest of it. And,
can you stand those squeaky voices?
Whatever. I know it's no good and all the rest of it, but you know yourself.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, the problem with taking something like Alvin and the Chipmunks and blending that computer animation with real live actors is that the real live actors are, you know, playing playing up to something that isn't there.
Yeah.
And though that worked spectacularly well with something like Casper, with Alvin and the Chipmunks, you're talking 2 hours of squeaky chipmunks singing Beyonce songs and chart hits. And that was my problem with them. Even the actors involved said they only did those films for the paychecks.
Yeah, right, okay, fair enough. George of the Jungle, you see, this is one thing I wouldn't have known. I don't know what the original even was. I presume it was a cartoon, wasn't
it? Was George of the Jungle, the cartoon, in the 60s, and it only ran for 17 episodes. And as well, of course, it was always a parody of, the Tarzan story.
Yeah.
I think it worked really well on the big screen because, for a start, Brendan Fraser at the time, he was hot stuff.
Really hot stuff. Yeah.
He was in serious movies, too. He did, yeah, but he was always this really good-looking all-American actor who could pull funny faces.
Yeah, he could be an Egypt.
Yeah, so he could act the Egypt for 90 minutes. And what worked with George of the Jungle was that you had this live-action cartoon almost on the big screen.
True.
And the actors were all in on the joke, and that always helps.
Another one that I wouldn't have known, in fact, I'm going to give you a little bit of the movie because I do know the movie, and I interviewed all the cast, I remember, for the movie, but I never knew the original series really is this one here, Inspector Gadget.
Greetings, Inspector. Glad you could drop in.
I owe you one, Skolex.
Oh?
You blew up me and my Chevette. And I really like that car.
Well, you crushed my hand, and I really like that hand. So go, get over it.
I don't know what you're up to, Skolex, but you'll never get away with it.
Oh, how cliche, Inspector. I think somebody's been watching too many Saturday morning cartoons.
Huh.
Unfortunately, Gadget, in the real world, evil quite often prevails.
Evil quite often prevails. I thought Rupert Everett was pretty good in that. Just get a British baddie and you're laughing, really.
That's miscast. Cool.
I thought he was good. I enjoyed it.
Matthew Broderick as the cyborg police officer. Yeah. No, it was terrible. The best thing about this film is that it's only 78 minutes long. I think they had a test screening beforehand and they said, we need to cut a lot out of this.
Well, I remember seeing it with a bunch of 5 and 6 year olds and they loved it, so there you are. It rubbed off on me. There was Yogi Bear was in there too, wasn't it?
Yeah, with Justin Timberlake and Dan Aykroyd voicing the bears. This was just a terrible film. I can't even believe they made it.
It's only from
a couple of years ago because there is a sequel on the way next year, I think 3 years ago. The only problem was that Justin Timberlake voiced the little bear, but I think they put their voices through computers afterwards, which just completely negates the fact that you're getting these big names in to lend their voices.
Well, you mentioned Casper as a bit of a thumbs up. What about just like I saw one the other day, Mr. Peabody and Sherman. What was
it's quite
that?
Good.
I thought what do you call it? Mr. Peabody was fantastic.
Yeah.
He's the dad in Family.
Ty Burrell. Perfect. I think Robert Downey Jr. was actually cast before him, but I think Ty Burrell is perfect.
He's hilarious.
Mr. Peabody and Sherman were actually animated short segments from the Rocky and Bullwinkle show in the 60s.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So there always was a call there for to get their own show. So DreamWorks went one better. They gave him their own film. It was a huge hit.
It's about a dog who adopts a boy. And the dog is great. He's really funny. I just saw it 2 days ago, actually. Yeah, very good. Okay, Mr. Peabody. Anything else? Top Cat? That was made into a movie.
Top Cat, the movie. That was made into a film 4 years ago. A Mexican-Argentine production. It was a huge success for Mexican cinema. But when it was dubbed then for English audiences, the critics completely savaged it. It only took in something like 40 million at the box office. And just the problem was badly animated, terrible jokes. It was too late for a Top Cat movie.
Top Cat was so cool, though. It was like, I remember when they stole a famous painting, and it was like, they've stolen the Moaning Lisa and all this kind of thing.
There's no room anymore for anything other than computer animated.
That's worth millions,
films. Thousands
even. Okay, let's go. Jetsons, I didn't know. I never knew the Jetsons, and I never really knew Garfield either. So, were the good movies from
the Jetsons were another Hanna-Barbera creation. They're also known as, or sometimes known as, the space age counterpart to the Flintstones. And they had a short run during the 60s. There was then a film in 1990. It was criticised for having this huge environmentalist script and story that not a lot of people liked at the time, but actually Kanye West, I think, is involved in the planning of a live action Jetsons film, which will probably end up looking like something from Lost in Space. I wouldn't be interested. What I think was a disaster, though, was Garfield. Bill Murray famously said in an interview a couple of years ago that the only reason he got involved in Garfield is because the director's last name is Cohen, and he thought it was a Coen Brothers production. And remember Bill Murray in Zombieland, when his character is about to be killed off and he's asked, do you have any regrets? And he says, yeah, maybe Garfield, because it was a terrible film. He did do a sequel, though, so he must have enjoyed how much he was paid for it. Not a great film.
So here's a little bit of it, Garfield.
Oh, Johnny boy, the time has come to get a car alarm. You're not going to believe it. A mongrel mutt has broken into your car.
Garfield, this is Odie. He's coming home with us.
You went in there to get a date and came out with a dog? Well, that's bad even for you. Oh, you're so sad. Oh, no, no, no. We're not bringing a dog home with us. Hey, I ride shotgun. What are you looking at, Tick
Garfield,
Boy?
Garfield, meeting Odie for the first time. Okay, just before I look at some of the ones that are coming up then very briefly, Chris, because we did mention that at the very beginning of what's going to be on the big screen in terms of old kids' TV programmes. Those that should have, are there any that should have been considered for a movie that you would like to see or
yes,
think should be there?
I like would love to see a Mr. Ben movie. Remember the guy who used to leave his house every morning? It's a 70s cartoon, I think. Leave his house every morning and pay this costume shop a visit, and he'd always try on a different outfit. He'd never buy anything. I don't know how they kept letting him in. And whatever outfit he put on, let's say he put on an astronaut's outfit or something, he'd end up in that world in the dressing room. I think Tim Burton would have a wonderful time with something
right,
like that.
Right, Tim, if you're listening, Mr. Ben, it's for you, for the big screen. What else?
Bagpuss as well.
I know of Bagpuss.
Old furry cat puss, yeah. No, it's a lovely, or not even an animated show, but Wes Anderson, I think, would have a great,
okay,
have a great
fine,
time
Wes,
with that.
Wes, if you're listening.
Yeah, and
okay.
The Clangers.
Oh,
yeah.
How
has nobody made a Clangers movie?
Yeah,
that could really work. And I think the last one would be The Wombles. I know The Wombles already had a movie in 1977, but it's probably time for a comeback.
No. Oh, you must be joking.
Okay, music.
Just let's take a few of them just very briefly. What is coming to the big screen in terms of what we're talking about here?
Next month, Postman Pat will make a cinematic debut. Now, it's a very different Postman Pat from the one we remember. I don't remember Postman Pat needing a helicopter back in the 80s and 90s. But the Postman Pat that's coming to the big screen is an adaptation of Postman Pat's Special Delivery Service, which is the computer animated show that's on TV at the moment.
So not the old Postman.
No,
not the real Postman.
We remember Postman Pat as just going about his day and delivering packages to the residents of Greendale.
Granny Drysdale.
Whereas kids now know him as the James Bond.
It was
Bond.
A windy day in Greendale. But hey, I'll tell you what, we've got to give it up. Postman Pat, Postman Pat. This is too modern, you say. It's on. Early in the morning. Just
as
the day is dawning,
it picks
up all the postman.
Oh, Ronan Keating sing that.
Fantastic.
Ronan Keating, actually, the story in this film that's out next month is that Postman Pat auditions for You're the One, which is supposed to be Britain's Got Talent, and he auditions for Simon Cowbell. And the residents of Greendale all of a sudden discover that Pat has literally the voice of Ronan Keating, because Stephen Mangan voices Postman Pat during the day, but when he starts to sing, it's Ronan Keating. So Postman Pat becomes a bit of a superstar, and the Royal Mail has to replace him with robots because, you know, why they can't find a human replacement for him, and madness ensues as he goes off to
So will he go,
star.
You say it best.
There is I hope not. There's an original song recorded for it. You should look up the trailer.
Wait, is Ronan going to be in it?
He is in it, yeah.
Wow, fantastic.
Yeah, just his voice.
Fantastic. That's a payday, isn't it? Fantastic.
I'd love to hear him sing that.
No, that's too modern. They've modernized.
Yeah. You should see him fly his helicopter.
Yeah, I know I have.
It's too much.
I know. He's a really happy man. It's fantastic. Jess, but one last line. Pat thinks he's a really happy man. And he is, and he was.
He was.
He was happier in the old one, I can tell you.
Yeah, so he's not going to be happy being a pop star.
No, I don't know about that. Anyway, that's fair play to Ronan, I must say. Fantastic. Okay, any other one for big screen that should
Yeah, Teenage
be?
Mutant Ninja Turtles is getting a reboot treatment later this summer in August. It's a Michael Bay film. Well, Michael Bay is the producer, but his name has been tacked all over the posters because he's Mr. Transformers.
I used to love it.
It was not awful. In fact, it had the best theme song of the
pizzas.
Lot.
Oh, you must be joking.
That was the thing. It was very 80s and 90s, and it was very tongue-in-cheek. You know, you had four Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles named after Renaissance artists, and, you know, they loved nothing better to do after, you know, their day of fighting crime in New York than to eat pizza. Judging from the trailer that I've seen for this latest reboot, we've already had three films, then we had a CGI film 6 years ago. This new picture starring Megan Fox, it looks as though Michael Bay and Jonathan Liebesman, the director, want us to take the Turtles seriously. And I can't. This was a humorous cartoon from my childhood.
It's a step too far for
and
you, Chris.
What it looks like is a video game on the big screen. I won't be going to see it.
All right, okay. Listen, Chris Wasser, good man yourself in the Herald. Thank you very much indeed. Loads of those look forward to. I will go to Postman Pat.
Will you?
Already, I think
sing along with him.
I'm not necessarily going to like it, but I'm thumbs up for Ronan. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Dave.